Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Lightning Dogs, the official podcast, is presented by the Nerdy Show Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Lightning Dogs is conceived as an all-ages property, but these behind-the-scenes conversations are not all ages. Please listen at your own discretion. Sometimes a great idea is truly like a bolt of lightning. And sometimes, if you're lucky enough, you can capture the exact moment when it strikes. That's what happened to us one fateful night while recording an episode of Nerdy Show. We accidentally launched a concept that derailed the entire show and, in no time, our lives. We couldn't stop talking about our favorite action figures and B-movies while twisting them into strange creatures, weird adventures, and dog puns. Lots and lots of dog puns. This is the story of Lightning Dogs, a journey steeped in the glory of 80s and 90s animation and sci-fi, where anthropomorphic dogs tear through the wasteland of ruined Earth, battling mutants, miscreants, and the evil Glampire. Coming soon to small screens, comic books, and podcasts. Or at least that's the goal. But how do you go from a crazy idea into a fully formed world of conflict and characters? How does a harebrained discussion become an animated cartoon series? That's what we're finding out firsthand. We've recorded the entire development of Lightning Dogs since day one. From the moment of conception to every world-building session and planning meeting, and the journey is still ongoing. Tune in as we create the world of Lightning Dogs live.
Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Hex.
Hey, I'm Doug.
I'm Tony.
Guess I'm Brian.
This is a very special episode because
this is a ridiculous episode.
Can this be like the special episode where we rebrand all of Nerdy Show to just be the weekly internet podcast dedicated to nothing but
Lightning Dogs?
Lightning Dogs!
Hey, Brian, that's not a bad idea. This is Lightning Dogs, the official podcast. And this episode takes us back to April of 2013. 2 months earlier, we'd accidentally conceived our crazy would-be animated series on the air, and now the whole crew was together again, this time to devote an entire episode to Lightning Dogs. We were definitely into the idea, but we had some help getting kicked into gear. You see, back in the days before Patreon, Nerdy Show had to take fan funding into our own hands to keep the lights on. We devised our own donation system, and every time our monthly fundraiser surpassed $100, whoever was responsible got a microsode. That's a 15 to 30 minute episode where they choose the topic. If someone was bold enough to donate $100 outright, they would immediately get a microsode. And within 24 hours of that initial Lightning Dogs episode going up, it happened. Twice.
Immediately after we posted that episode, we had two massively generous contributions from two particular people. That is Big Bad Shadow Man and Hoodoo Voodoo. They both contributed.
They both wanted Lightning Dogs.
And they both wanted the same damn thing. So those microsodes have turned into this full episode of Nerdy Show.
And it's worth noting that since Lightning Dogs, since that first conception, I have gone around telling everybody I know about this concept, and there has not been a single person who didn't go, "That's fucking brilliant."
Yeah, likewise.
What can I do?
Also, there's been some fan art. Max Acree sent us some fan art of Dingo and Pierre, and other stuff's been going on in the forums.
It wasn't just the five of us playing off of each other. There was something special about Lightning Dogs. Something infectious. Fleas, maybe, because we were itching to continue exploring that world.
Lightning Dogs, just in a nutshell, I highly recommend going back to the original source material. Lightning Dogs is a concept where it's basically, what if the Thundercats, the original Thundercats,
was good?
Yeah, didn't suck.
Because I admit that I don't remember anything about our real origin. I just remember when we started talking about the Lightning Dogs, and it was amazing.
Well, Brian, you invented Glampire. The arch...
just assume this is real thing that we're really talking about.
It's like, what do you mean it always existed?
I have the mind of a goldfish.
Well, fortunately, there's a thread on the Nerdy Show forums where our listeners hashed it all out for us. They gave us some bullet points. We've got it all straightened out from the first episode. It's about anthropomorphic dogs in a post-apocalyptic world that's probably used to be Earth. And their arch nemesis, instead of Mum-Ra, is David Bowie, aka Glampire, who unleashes
the Diamond Dogs.
Diamond Dogs and Halloween Jack and other minions to attack the Lightning Dogs.
From within his labyrinth.
Yeah, we know that we know the leader's name is Dingo. And we know that there's
And he's voiced by Nolan North.
Apparently that's an executive decision from Tony there.
I'm not arguing with that.
Well, I won't argue either.
Go Nolan North.
And then we've got the Panthro substitute is Pierre, who is a poodle with an afro.
Voiced by John DiMaggio.
And he's French.
Can he have an eye patch?
He does now. He absolutely does now.
He has an afro and an eye patch?
Yes, he does.
He's only got one eye and he sees in black and white. You're really putting this guy at a disadvantage.
A part of me is saying, well, hold on. We need badass accessories for the rest of the team. We can't just give them all to one guy.
No, you're right. Yeah.
There are other appendages that can be lost, Cap. Let's be fair.
Anyway, there's...
Well, they're not really lost. They get cybernetic replacements.
So here tonight... We're going to try to capture that same kinetic energy, that 1.21 gigawatts of energy here. We're
going to... Dinowatts?
Dogawatts.
Dogawatts?
Dogawatts.
Fidawatts.
God, it's starting Kibbles already. And bits.
All right. Well, anyway, we're going to be brainstorming about...
I like Fidawatts. Fidawatts. Yeah.
Fido Farnsworth. He created all the communications devices.
Oh my God, yes. Okay, we got to keep that.
Fido Farnsworth.
And I've been reading Neuromancer, and I really want us to have like hacking involved. I want some like remnants of a cyberspace.
Well, actually, I got a thing about a basset hound. This is dumb. This is going to be a dumb joke, but it makes me smile.
It'll fit in perfectly with the rest of it.
There's a basset hound character. It's a girl. Her name's Angela.
Angela Basset Hound?
That is the dumbest. It's perfect. Yes, I keep talking about how whenever stuff happens, you know, like the villain's plan, you know, they come across it, just to say, like, these are strange days.
Would an anthropomorphic female basset hound be attractive?
No, she wouldn't.
To other dogs, even?
Well, like, basset hounds are stubby little guys, right?
Right.
So she would, basically, I imagine her having the body type of, say, a female dwarf.
I'm okay with this.
She's like this tough, weird little dog with long ears, done up in like some kind of attractive eardo.
Kind of like the Jaga figure, where she's kind of like the old wise one that sits around with everybody. She's still tough as nails.
I would say more like she's like the brawler. She's like this little, I don't know, knee-high Wolverine, shorter than Wolverine.
Ooh, I like.
I'm okay with that.
Like she's an infiltrator. She's really short, so no one even notices her when she walks by
or busts through a wall.
You know what would be a good place to start? What dog breeds do we want to be members of the Lightning Dogs? We already got a poodle,
and also we got to talk about genders a bit because originally you said Doug
Rule
63 Thundercats,
and they're still all men.
Hey, we got a woman now.
Yeah, well, but
I think we should definitely have more than one woman, because then we end up with this whole Smurfette situation with Chitara.
Or Road Rovers.
Yeah, and Colleen from Road Rovers. Yeah. And granted, there were Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat. Are we going to create parallels to them? Do we need to?
Well, the Terror Terriers.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, this is something that was also mentioned by Tony that didn't get fully fleshed out in the episode.
But yeah, the Wile E. Kit, Wile E. Cat, we've got these two little Jack Russell kind of manic, angry little things. Maybe creative, I don't know, but they're the ones that they just kind of go in and say,
oh.
Oh my.
He just had a look.
I did.
I didn't know what happened.
I usually
there.
Regret
were you struck
he
by just, lightning?
He had
I
a stroke. Was.
I had a stroke. Genius.
Thank you. You took the words right out of my mouth. I know this makes absolutely no sense.
Breeding wise,
but they're Angela Basset Hound's children. So
they could be adopted children as well.
The Terror Terriers.
They were rescued.
Dogs. She essentially keeps them on leashes. So she's the brawler and they are her weapons. Like she throws them at people and it's chaos.
Your children on a leash to fight for you?
That's interesting, but I don't know if it actually works as a child dynamic. If the Terror Terriers are like alien dogs, as in not definable breeds of dogs, but rather monstrosity, like dog-like monstrosities from outer space, adorable monstrosities, like Nibbler.
That's another thing I wanted to touch on was that, because again, I'm not as familiar with Thundercats. original Thundercats, the heroes came from another planet.
They did, yeah.
Yeah.
And they came to the to wherever they were.
Third Earth.
You're gonna have to feed me all that because I have no idea.
Okay, you know what? Don't even start. We need a clean slate here.
Okay.
We need to choose our own reality.
Because I was going to say, if we're doing the opposite, just for, you know, for whatever, have the lightning dogs. They're on their planet. This is already their planet. The bad guys, the Glampire, the whoever, comes from outer space.
David so Bowie's already an alien.
So they're defending their home turf. As opposed to like, oh, we're here, now let's do whatever.
We're looking for a new home.
They're defending their home, being a little bit more loyal, a little bit more dog-centric, I felt.
True.
As opposed to a cat coming in and fucking everything up.
And also could explain why, instead of it being like in the past sword and sorcery, it's post-apocalyptic because they've already invaded. So it's like you get like that Skynet after
like
after
they're like so situation. So why is it that this invasion took place, succeeded, and they're striking back? Were they in like stasis or something?
Or they could just have survived the fallout. Like, I mean, if it was a world
I'm
of
actually
dogs,
liking the idea that they were all in stasis tubes for different reasons that they don't know among themselves, and we slowly learn. Like, well, one was now, actually...
Like, Pierre had behavior is, issues.
Is, like, well, one if, was an actual, like, prisoner in for murder or something.
Pierre. That'd be Pierre.
No. It's not the obvious one. It's not the obvious one.
Or you mean like they wake up and they're like, oh man, one of us was locked in here for a prison, whatever.
Someone finds out like all lost
and it's
style.
Like, oh, it wasn't me. And then it's like, Bingo. Wait, who was it? We don't know who it was, but it was one of them. And then you find... It's turned into The Walking Dead suddenly. I realize.
Yeah!
Okay.
Episode 4.
All right, Cap wants to say something.
Here's a thought, though. I feel that the thing that plays up the strength of Glampire is that it's Glampire's world, and that he was... I think the portrait we painted of him that was very compelling in the previous episode is that the world had ended, be it nuclear holocaust or something else, and Glampire was...
Survived it.
Yeah. And had nowhere else to go and has created this whole band of miscreants and mutants, and he essentially runs the place in sort of a Road Warrior-like setting. Road Warrior was where we were leaning to before.
Well, maybe we can still use the idea of him being an alien because David Bowie's so far fucking out there anyway.
But we don't want to just make the Goblin King in Mad Max.
Why not?
Because that's not enough. But
I still like the idea of the invader, but he survived, and now this is his land.
Yeah.
He was twisted by whatever apocalypse he unleashed.
The thing is, you can't destroy a planet and without having like a massive, a well-defined army, a legion, and like a full-blown occupation of it. And there needs to be, I don't know, a benefit exactly. So we'd need to redefine how we look at that character because it would
villain,
be a very
yeah.
different
villain, yeah.
thing. And we certainly can, but there's something, despite the fact that we are going towards flipping everything, there's something that's, I think, rather interesting to me about the original Thundercats origin of them coming from outer space, in that they did jack shit with it.
Like, right.
So we may as well do something with it.
Yeah.
Idea. Okay. Slight idea. Because Mumra, I don't remember them actually fighting Mumra on their home planet. I remember him being in stasis or, you know...
Brian, do you remember something about this? Do you know how this went down?
Mumra is absolutely 100% a native of
Third
whatever
Earth.
Planet they end up on. He is just this weird thing, and I think he's even like asleep and has been for who knows how long.
Mm-hmm.
And just the fact that they arrive, because, you know, it's kind of the cataclysmic crash, kind of awakens him. He's like, what the fuck is this shit? Aw, hell nah.
So he's just angry because they interrupted his nap.
Yeah.
Like a typical old person.
Like, basically, like, he has no other real reason for fighting them.
I'm sure there's some kind of a prophecy. But, Doug, I liked what you said about tying in the whole dog thing theme thematically and all that.
Mum and it knew to complete to raw. You know, on Wikipedia, when you type in, you know, half a thing, it gives you some, you know, choices, like, you know, autocomplete. Raw was one of the choices for, you know.
I wouldn't be surprised that people search that a lot.
There's a demon sorcerer. Not badass.
Vaguely familiar.
What was it? Mumra the Ever-Living?
Mumra the Ever-Living!
Thank you. I just needed to hear that.
The loyalty thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
They don't turn tail.
Let's take another thing. Much like Thundercats, it's completely broken. Prometheus. It was all about returning to the place where the creators came from and all that.
Mm-hmm. Don't get me started on Prometheus.
I think that goes for all of us here, man. What if the lightning dogs are come from a planet inhabited by dogs that were all space dogs? They were all like science experiments.
They're all descended from Laika.
So you mean like it's like the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes?
Is that what that was? Is that how that went down?
Tim Burton, Planet of the Apes, was Marky Mark is in, he's in the present time, which is our future.
Uh-huh.
He trains the apes to fly things. The chimpanzee gets loose outside the ship in its little shuttlecraft. And he's like, no, don't go out there because it's, you know, you can't actually fly. You know, it's, don't actually fly. And then he goes out after it. They both get sucked into different black hole, wormhole things.
Oh.
He, Mark Wahlberg crashes, wakes up. It's Planet of the Apes. He's like, what the fuck? And then he eventually finds out that there's this prophecy that their savior, their little Jesus monkey will show up one day and stop the war. And he's like, where did you all come from? Like, we've always been here. But then he finds the wreckage of his ship crashed into that planet and all the other monkeys got loose for, you know, on that right. planet, and they made Planet of the Apes. And then sure enough, because there was weird time hole loops, hit the pet monkey that he went after, lands just in the nick of time, stops the battle, and then he gets back with the monkey and they get back up into space. And then, you know, then the ending makes no sense after that.
Right.
It actually made sense up to that point. Then it makes no sense because then he goes back to Earth and then everything's monkey on Earth. So, but I see what you're saying. Where it's like, oh, like because
they get a message from outer space. They feel like we've traced the origins of our race from outer space. We know maybe it's interdimensional travel and rather than space. Well,
whatever,
like a tesseract.
It's another planet,
that's right?
But yeah, so I'm pushing the origin, the progenitor being like the space dog.
What was that Russian dog? They flew.
That was like
yeah,
like
that's
just one dog.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's like Leica is just one dog. So
it was a hospitable environment for dogs. So he bred with something that was dog like on that planet.
Okay, that's a different,
whatever. That's like, a start. Yeah.
Maybe Leica was the beginning of a place where they just were sending test animals, like different kinds of tests. Maybe dating back that far. Let's say the Tesla-like teleportation technology. They were going somewhere, and no one knew where.
Ooh!
So eventually, they tracing the origins of their own planet, their own life, and everything. This is, of course, hundreds of years in the future from now.
On Earth, at least.
And they discover artifacts and so on, leading them, breadcrumbing them back to Earth. And when they get back to Earth, they find like some kind of a message from, let's say, a guy who talks like Wolfman Jack.
Oh, I see where you're going. I got to this. Now I see how you just went all the way around and connected the dots right back to the beginning. So, and it's funny, you were like, oh, what if it was like a regular dog that way in the past mixed with another type of dog on another planet? That, now this is going to sound crazy, but that I had just listened to Science Friday on NPR from like a couple weeks back. There's some actual science to back up the idea that a dog can breed with another type of dog. They're talking about the genesis of how humans and dogs first got together. Like,
well, I mean, we've been having dogs breed with dogs they shouldn't be breeding with for centuries.
No, yeah.
But like, look at the pug.
The idea that it's like, how did you go from a wolf to like a domestic dog? No one still really knows.
Like, how does wolf equal dachshund?
Right. But this whole science writer was talking about that, and they had these experts come on, and they were just like, well, actually, we do think that it all came from the wolf. The wolf was the precursor to all domestic dogs. Because they said something about how dogs and wolves are the only types of animals that can breed with other types of breeds of the same genus or whatever. I'm using a lot of science phrases in hopes that someone thinks I know what I'm talking about.
Nobody fact checking.
Long story short, other breeds can breed with other breeds and you can get a different kind of dog.
Right.
They're
like
work.
Pokemon.
That may or may not have worked with humans and Neanderthals and everything else. But that was one thing that dogs could do, and that's why they stuck around for so long. You could, you know, different breeds would have different relationships with humans and how they would be domesticated, and you were good. This one's good for hunting.
And that's where werewolves come from, obviously.
Obviously. Clearly. But then it got to a point where humans said, oh, man, you're really good. Let's see if you can help us hunt. And then they did, and those became those types of dogs. Then after civilization built a little higher, it's like, I want a dog that just looks good. And then they made, like, a Pekingese.
I want a dog that has wrinkles so that the blood can drain from its eyes.
I want an ugly dog with no nose that'll have breathing and back problems for its entire life. It's like, just to look at it and laugh.
Science, make it happen. This is a marvelous Tuesday
but
afternoon.
But in other words, if a canine from Earth met an alien canine, it's not too far-fetched
that it could fuck it and create a lightning dog.
Yeah. Not too, well, now we're talking thousands of years of evolution.
And perhaps
on top of that.
Perhaps the teleportation machine is called the Farfetch.
Yes! The Farfetch.
All right, oh, so God. Farfetch. All right, yeah.
So wait, so you mean like the lightning dogs find evidence on their home planet, yes. when they're, so like their modern civilization finds evidence that their precursor came from another planet, do they find the artifact thing, or do they have the technology to build their own Farfetch?
Can the artifact be like a rawhide bone?
It has to be. It can't be anything else.
I just
Brian.
Realized, it just blew my mind. We're talking mixing Thundercats with, I lost the middle one, but it ended with Stargate.
This is the man we want in charge of continuity.
It's, congratulations, it's, Doug. You now have a title.
Awesome, continuity awesome. Director.
Yes. No, that can't happen because that's a, it's like, don't get me started with the continuity on Chief Bass. I'll say that's never going to happen with Lightning Dogs. It's like, if the character's dead, they stay dead. If they can make it, if you don't see the death happen, they're still alive. That's the basic rule of all fiction.
However they get back to Earth, like that's a story in and of itself, but mm-hmm. the actual
pilot, yeah.
Yeah, the byproduct of it is that they end up in a ancient research facility with the other end of this machine. They get trapped there. And you know, part of the subplot of the season is maybe getting back to their planet. Maybe they do at some point, maybe they don't.
Or maybe it's even recaking the home of their ancestor.
They're probably the initial exploratory team, just like in Stargate.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, like they can't activate the device on their end.
Now, yeah. I still really like the idea of them coming ancient. From different walks of life and nobody really knowing the backstory of anybody else.
Right, so we should probably create some kind of an accident to happen on their side. And maybe something they have to get back to. Maybe there's a war on their own planet.
Or maybe there was already an exploratory team and they're like the first shipment of colonists, but something goes wrong.
Or maybe.
Because like the planet did look habitable and then something happened.
Or perhaps, and stop me if a government being secretive about certain missions sounds too far-fetched. They sent a team in before without telling anybody. And this exploratory team is actually a rescue team. They just don't know it yet. That way we have...
And then when they get there, we find out that the first team is the Diamond Dogs.
Holy shit.
And you see that... Continuity director.
Oh man, we've already spoiled it for the listeners.
Bullshit. That's okay. Anybody listening to this, you're at the ground floor of Lightning Dogs. It's like it's gonna
send
be
us
a
your
hit.
Monies.
I like
send
it. So Glampire finds these Diamond Dogs.
It's like,
and it is just David Bowie.
Dogs.
And he
better
pretty
David,
much
David Bowie than
he
I
like
do,
he so reprograms them or something. Encases them in armor.
I encapsulate them into my crystalline web woven by the glass spiders.
two members left either have to be Pierre and Dingo or Angela Bassett Hound and Dingo. Because I like the idea that Angela Bassett Hound was just this...
We're just calling her Angela.
She's an Angela. She's an Angela. And when you look Angela... at her, she is a Bassett Hound, so just yeah. Angela.
I like the idea that Angela was just this tough-as-nails black ops agent that had no subtlety.
I'm afraid we're getting weirdly racist here. It's just terrible. And if we also are
it
making
wasn't racist till you said something.
Agent, I mean, we are really telegraphing this.
Well, maybe
like they
really
didn't do the same thing with Panthro.
Maybe we're just making a show for, you know, like racial diversity. Maybe we just haven't gotten to the other weird dog races yet.
It's not like I picked a Rottweiler.
It's not like we gave a Chihuahua the Mexican accent.
Oh,
Lightning Dogs. Okay, well, it's a good point. We're working it out. We're working it out.
Would a wet work team make you feel a little bit better?
Nope's worried about peeing.
It's a wet work team is just a bulldog that drools all the time.
Remember the wet work?
It's an English bulldog. Remember the wet work?
It's canon.
Greetings, everybody. My name's Charles Bully. Bully.
He's got those boss nasty jowls.
He's got the jowls of Richard Nixon. Just yeah, Heck does the best.
Okay, give me a cocky Nixon.
He's just Winston Churchill in dog form.
Yeah, it's Winston Churchill.
In that.
It's, so it's the personality of Winston Churchill with the voice of a British Nixon. Can you do that?
Oh, God, I'll need some... Oh, we'll fight them on the leaves and on the forests and on the coasts.
Not a fire hydrant.
We will never give up.
Not a fire hydrant will be
we
left.
We will never surrender.
And now it's Galaxy
like
Quest.
The general, that's like the general who sent them on their mission. It's like,
We chose you because you're the bravest.
You're the bravest.
And the loyal.
And the boldest.
Going back to the loyalty thing, what they find as far as the Wolfman Jack thing is both some pre-recorded messages and then also a dormant AI system.
It's got to be an AI. Right. Wolfman's got to be AI.
Exactly, because he has to continue to interact with them, so it won't just be messages.
So if it's an AI, why would it sound like Wolfman? It's probably because if they find
it was an automated DJ system that somehow slipped by the.
We're not saying this is Wolfman Jack.
Follow me on this one. It is an automated DJ system that had some sliver of actual artificial intelligence to interact with listeners. However, it somehow survived through the nuclear holocaust and kept on developing. Mm-hmm. So now it's an actual artificial intelligence.
But the interface has just
I was thinking it was it's a scientist personality that for whatever reason has kind of like digitally transmutes into this. Maybe he's just Wolfman Jack as a scientist. I mean, maybe that's all it is.
My approach was that it was just literally Wolfman Jack.
Well, originally it was
kind of like
that.
Kind of like with Futurama, where it has the Museum of Heads. Mm-hmm. This is a museum of personalities,
yeah,
coded into artificial intelligence.
I really like the idea of their Earth counterpart, the Wolfman, being an AI, because if all the humans are dead, how are you going to relate to what the humans went through?
Oh, maybe they run a search. They're like the search for Wolf.
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. And this comes up, but I liked the idea of it being an AI as like their main contact, but he's like their support, because he can, if you give him AI powers early on, then you can later on, thinking continuity wise, you can say like, oh, we'll never find Angela. She's lost in the waste. It's like, why not just hook up to the satellite system? And it's like, you can do that, Wolfman AI? I'd do anything, baby.
Let me tap into Poogle.
The loyalty thing is that they see these humans as like these kind of ancient gods, and so
the AI is able to tell them
like, you know, what's happened to the world in a rough sense, because he's been underground in a bunker forever, but like essentially the world is gone, like they don't know if there's any humans left, they don't know what's happened, but they do know who the bad guys are.
Oh yeah.
And so they can be like, well, we have nowhere to go, we gotta fight to get back, we gotta fight for resources, and we sure as hell gotta fight those things that are not the people who created us.
Maybe it's just like, but why can't they get back? And if it's, I mean, this is a dumb reason, but just maybe think of how to tie in the we don't turn tail. It's just like they're being chased by the diamond dogs. They're like, oh, our own people turned against us, and now they get back to the far fetch, and then they're like, come on, let's hop in. And Dingo just goes, we don't turn tail. Destroys the far fetch, like Cortez burning the ships. We're stuck. It's like, we are loyal. We don't leave. It's like, our masters may be dead, meaning the engineers. Like, the masters may be dead, but, you know, and we're loyal to the end.
Maybe that's canon. Maybe on their planet, we actually see human-like visages that they do worship as gods.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that would really bring this all together with, like, they are really, like, they are fighting for what they see as their gods. So we've got a rough outline of this origin story, yeah, and the world, and so on.
A rough outline.
So now we need to know more about the Diamond Dogs. We need to flesh out the party a little bit more. We created a new character. Certainly, we can do better than that.
All right, so we've got
especially with an artificial intelligence. I still think we need some kind of hacker.
And something that I do want to kind of touch on, because we made a little bit of a nod towards this in the first one, particularly because Lightning Dogs is the metal cover of the Thundercats theme song. What kind of thematic tie-in does this world have? I mean, it's got
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was conflicted about a couple of things, personal conflicts about a couple of things. One, with the cover song was very metal. And that had like a driving energy that was just balls out badass behind it, which I feel like it needs. But then you mix in something like Wolfman, and you got like this 1950s, 60s classic rock and roll sort of vibe going on. So
we were talking about how like the Lightning Dogs theme had a Joan Jett feel to it.
Yeah, just like there's this rock and roll thing going on. And you've got fucking David Bowie as the bad guy. So
yeah, I think that rock is a core component, much like a Six String Samurai, which I've never seen,
but I hear
good things.
Oh, you need to see it.
I guess so. And other things like that, like Tank Girl also, you know, where rock becomes rock and roll, the idea of rock and roll becomes something that lifts people out of post-apocalyptic desperation.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going going to be typing into those themes exactly, but definitely letting it run as an undercurrent. And something that Hex and I were talking about, Brian sent us an email recently letting us know that the Blood Brothers had created a new mixtape. Blood Brothers are these guys who do these big mixtapes of like the most awesome 80s, early 90s, direct-to-video, pumped-up, Rambo kind of mashups, mostly songs from films. Brian showed it to us, and I've been listening to the third one an awful lot. And Hex and I were saying, well, maybe we should look to the track lists for their three mixtapes of, like, you know, what thematically to base Thunderdog's music around. Lightning Dog's music.
You did it again, and Wolfman gonna get you.
It's all right. His tail's between his legs. He knows he did something wrong.
Well, and there's another thing we gotta need to address is why are they called Lightning Dogs? We'll get to that. Yes, rock music, 80s stuff, and we're, you know, the thing about Thundercats is Thundercats did not have a particularly great theme. It's a well remembered theme, but it's not a great theme. It's not like
it sticks in your head. That's why you remember it.
Right? But it's not like things like Turtles. Silverhawks, Pole Position, Galaxy Rangers.
I have something.
They can't see you raise your hand, Hex.
For why they're called Lightning Dogs.
Okay.
Like, maybe there was something wrong with the system for when they went through, and there was some kind of change. So they all have new powers that they're coping with that are light-related.
Did the Thundercats have powers, though?
The Thundercats, really, yeah. No, they did. Like, Tigro, like, he had the teleporting thing. Chitara was really, really fast.
So we didn't even tap into the idea of them having powers.
So the whole idea is they have light-related powers. Like, one could be super fast. One could have teleportation. Like, as throwbacks to Thundercats. But it's like, and so that, like, they all have these weird lightning-related powers. Mm. And they're like, well, what are we now? We're Lightning Dogs.
Someone has to have a bark of thunder or just booming.
Yes.
That would be Dingo. I mean, it's got to be the leader. You know, you've got sight beyond sight. Sound beyond sound.
It kind of ties in. Ooh, I like that. That's a good...
The senses of dogs being that much more advanced or whatever. One can smell real well.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Probably Angela smells the best.
You can smell a crime a mile away.
Yeah, she'd be their tracker.
That's a good way to tie in. Like, what is each person's job?
It's also
like, not only are they strangers in a strange land, but they're also learning more about themselves.
Because you said, oh, we got to have a hacker. I'm like, well, what if them is a master expert? I keep using master the way they use the engineer. You know, like the human expert.
Oh yeah. Like
the quintessential adventure archaeologist. Right. Like, there's a character like that in Stargate.
Daniel.
Right?
Yeah.
The guy
Daniel
with the glasses.
Jackson, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, we get one of those. Maybe like a kind of, we've got some kind of exaggerated.
What dog is really,
dog breeds? Maybe
what's a good science dog? Really smart science
or corgi. Or even, I was going to say,
corgi in glasses looks pretty sophisticated, I got to say.
Yeah, I was going to say something goofy, because like, if it's the scientist, then he's going to get kicked around probably.
But we also want to make this the most awesome thing ever, which means we do need to defy conventions on occasion.
Right, and I'm okay with not going with the easy.
Because they are upright like people.
Pierre?
Yeah.
Pierre's the science dog?
No, why Pierre's not? No. Pierre is security I, expert
has so much going on already. Yeah. He's done in a way.
But no, it's a one dog show. We're just going to stack everything on Pierre.
Well, I mean, let's face it. If you go back and watch any Thundercats, everyone blows except for Panthro.
True.
He's the only one who gets shit done.
That's why Lightning Dogs
maintains it, drives that fucking tank. He is the man.
And his nunchucks, the fire and...
Everyone else is useless. Everyone else is uncaptured. Oh, I twisted my ankle.
I guess I'll come help you again. I just fixed the thunder tank again.
And that's what makes Lightning Dogs better, because everyone has a purpose.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be badass.
Maybe in an attempt to not have obligatory only one female character, the archaeologist character could be the master expert.
I like that.
Okay, so now do we want to...
I meant to say female somewhere in there, but you guys knew what I was saying.
Now, do we want to keep to the same size of the team?
It's an
ish. I don't want to limit ourselves to that.
Like we came up with this idea by flipping that one thing.
Now we're at a point where we
want to make it the most awesome. It doesn't matter about the parallels.
But I think
that we should stick to plus or minus one or two, though, because that is a pretty decent number just for keeping track of characters and having storylines with them and things for them to do.
Yeah,
if you have too many people, you're just going to have too many, you know, what's Joe up to today? Who knows? Who cares?
And that limits our ability to introduce new characters.
What's the dog breed with like the kind of like longer, fluffier ears, shorter breed?
Cocker Spaniel?
Yeah, maybe that for the master expert. It's got a cute little feel to it.
Is there a dog that's like, no, I mean, all dogs are supposed to be like loyal-ish, but is there one dog that's supposed to be like really loyal to people, like more so?
Golden retrievers.
Yeah.
They're kind of ridiculous.
Because that would have the natural draw to the master.
If anyone's a golden retriever, it's going to be Dingo. Like, because that's boring. And the leader.
Why isn't Dingo just a Dingo?
Dingo just be a Dingo.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was.
Well, is Lion-O an actual lion?
Yeah.
Ish.
I mean, it does have a mane, sort of.
None of the Thundercats are actually cats. That's like, do they have fur? Is that just their wacky skin colors? I don't fucking know.
God, I don't know.
None of them have tails.
They were naked in the first episode, maybe.
That was weird.
Lightning dogs have tails. Let's just get that clear.
Done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you're the continuity expert, so I'm not arguing.
I'm the artist, so we're going to have to work together on this show.
As far as aesthetics go, I think that wherever the lightning dogs came from, you know, we'll have a little bit of a futurist. They are more advanced than we are right now.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Like, yes.
Where humanity left off was more advanced than where we are right now. Mm-hmm. So we get to kind of imagine what that looks like, and maybe it's sort of within the conventions of the future, like jumpsuits and Mass Effect and whatnot. But
again, this goes back to what I forgot to say earlier about the conflict between the different musical genres, and if it's just rock and roll based, you could just do a whole span of rock and roll stuff. Like, if it's metal themed because it's post-apocalyptic,
right?
The ruins of what they're walking through could be like the Wolfman era 1950s, 60s hot rods, but futuristic hot rods. Like, just so when they get there,
comes around.
Yeah. So like, but like when they get there, it's like they're not just on foot the whole time, or they have to ride weird animals.
Well, I mean, we need to obviously have the full gamut of vehicles and accessories.
Exactly.
And I had an idea for their main mode of transportation. Nice little turn on something. We get a tricked out 50s hot rod looking like dog catcher for them to drive around in.
Like a van?
I don't understand what you're saying.
Okay. Picture.
What do you mean by dog catcher thing?
Your traditional
truck that's a dog catcher truck.
Yeah, you know, where it's got you've got the long hood in front and it's a big box in the back.
Uh-huh.
So a van.
Just something like that.
So a van.
Only it's got more of that Packard, like the 50s feel, where it's not just a slope down, it's like a stop. You get the full snout of the vehicle. We can stretch that out.
Well, modern day animal control things are just like a truck with like the panels on the side, but they can put their gear in there and stuff like that, you know. Plus, if it's super futuristic for the humans, is this going to be like hover cars, or is this going to be like...
You know what?
I definitely want wheels.
Wheels.
Gotta have wheels. You got the Turtles party wagon, and that's nice and iconic and all that, but really, when it comes to lightning dogs, let's talk about marketability. Let's pretend that we're Mattel for a second here. The fucking dog catcher thing, it's not going to fly.
No.
We can't. It's got to be hot rods. It has to be.
It's got
to
be. It's actually like, maybe like
a hot rod.
Within the first season, a hot rod, a different one for every single fucking lightning dog. The kids need to buy all of
these. Some kind of bigger vehicle that like is all the hot rods. They combine together and they ride together.
Each vehicle is it like in the wheel position of a main vehicle that is a super tank.
Yeah.
And so when they separate, like all they can all separate to go do their own stuff.
Instead of having them like come together like a Transformers kit, what if you just had it like every one of them's got a hot rod? Some of them can be a one seater, some of them can be a two seater, but they used to be only for looks like hot rods for performance, but since they're in this post-apocalyptic world, they're modified to have cage rollers on them and, you know, machine laser guns. Because you can't have real bullets. That's no good for the kids. So
right.
They shoot purple lasers.
The light powers.
Yeah, and light powers. There you go.
The vehicle.
There you go. And then instead of having like a tank, like they come together to form a tank, you just have a tank. And these ones are like the single fighters that go out.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like you got, you know, the tank. Obviously, what role does that play on the battlefield? Yeah, it's a tank.
It's their mobile base.
Yeah.
And it looks like a giant bone.
The mobile base.
And when you buy them all together, you got to call it the pack.
Oh shit! Okay,
but the mobile base, that'll be a hell of a playset.
Yeah.
And eventually you're going to get the fighter jets and you'll get the helicopters and the, you know, but they got to build that based off of what they find in the ruins of the future world.
I don't know if we need two young characters like Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat. The problem with them is that they were maybe a little too young and definitely underplayed. Their general purpose is they get into trouble. Maybe now and then they, despite everyone's being like, you're just a kid, they solve something.
Dumb. Even when I was a kid, that was very
pandering. The reason they were written in like that was that like writers felt that they needed to include something so that
they continued to foresee themselves.
And that was the same thing with Robin. People were like, oh, we need a Robin. So people, fuck that. You're not imagining yourself as Robin. You're imagining yourself as fucking Batman.
We said that. And like, you know what includes me in the story? More badass cars, more rock and roll, and more fight scenes, and I'm in.
But here's what I think we might want. We might want a teenager. I mean, I'm talking like an angsty teenager.
They just call it's like, oh, you're acting like a young pup.
Like a teenager who's got problems with what's going on, definitely doesn't like being trapped here.
Did he stow away? Maybe, perhaps?
Maybe so, or maybe they... Wesley Bone Crusher. Maybe it's a someone from like juvenile who's got some kind of special abilities. Maybe if we want a hacker... Maybe it's this kid who's like kind of like if John Connor got locked in detention.
I'm liking the John Connor approach.
Maybe this kid hacked into some of the ancient subsystems of some of the artifacts and no one had done that before. The kid doesn't even really know what he or she did.
It's just an iBark back at home.
maybe his lightning power is that he's kind of a technopath. Like he is the one that can actually talk with the machines. Like something happens when he touches them. He activates them or something.
It's a Unix system.
I know this.
And maybe as the series develops, the kid just starts looking more towards the machines than the other dogs at all.
Right.
Interesting conflict problem later
on.
And then he
makes a friend that he thinks is like a robot, but it's really actually Vampire. Yep.
And then they're actually able to save your puppy eyes. They're
able to save the robot from Glampire's thrall, and he joins the team.
Okay.
Season 2.
Yeah. Or mid-season. What's the little robot dog? Ibo
K-9.
No, there's already a K-9.
No, I'm just saying. Brian was asking, what's the little robot dog?
Oh, okay.
Well, there's probably many robot dogs. What are you talking about, Brian?
There's like a toy.
Tamagotchi?
I know what you're talking about.
Nano?
No, it's a weird robot dog that just goes bark, 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 and then flips.
Oh, it flips, yeah.
But when this one flips, like fucking machine gun lasers come out.
We mentioned last time Beast Hound, which would be the Bronx equivalent from Gargoyles. Essentially,
would that robot.
No. Beast Hound. Well, I was going to say, but I don't know about a robot. Oh, yeah, because he did shoot lasers and shit, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Like lasers from the eyes.
Well, I like the idea of like, it actually being like in the form of a master. And it's the closest they have to a master.
Well, I was gonna say instead of it, like you say, it's the closest they have to a master, but it's not a person that evolved, but it is one of our dogs,
right?
Like, so in other words, humans. There's
still monkeys in the world.
Yeah, humans.
No,
yeah,
I was talking about the robot that the kid.
Oh yeah, yeah.
With.
No, that's a person. That's an anthropomorphic dog robot. I think is where we should.
Well,
go
I was
with
thinking
that.
Like a person robot, not a dog robot.
Oh, a master.
But that's
okay.
but back to Beast Hound. Beast that's Hound. Why they call it Beast Hound because it's like a wild beast to them. Like they come to this planet, they see a dog, and they're like, oh, look, it's another dog, another of our kind. And it's like a nuts. And they're just like, it's some kind of beast. Quick. And at first it like, you know, attacks them and shit. They're like, and then, you know, clearly they're smelling each other. And, you know, and they're like, is it something weird here?
Beast Hound will not talk, Tony.
Oh,
no way.
Beast Hound does not talk.
Nope.
Because Beast Hound is from Earth. Beast Hound is just, that show After Earth or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, and then, you know, thousands of years, dogs and cats living together, you know.
Mass hysteria.
But they would eventually just evolve and crossbreed until they're just a whole new thing. So you take dogs, they're all feral again, they all go nuts, and this is just a Beast Hound, but it's the first that they come into contact with, and of course, like... tying it back to the
there could be a whole whole Beast Hound episode where he's pondering going back to his pack.
Yeah, like they could find the other pack of Beast Hounds or whatever. Yeah, and call them in like the Eagles with you know, Gandalf. It's like, the Beast Hounds are coming.
Do we want to do a Whamuriner?
What's that?
That's one of those like baleful eyed, blue grayish. There's some woman who does only photos of Whamuriners. Kind of like grayish coat, really thin. It's not a common dog.
What breeds do we know we want to have so far? We know we got Dingo being the Dingo. We got French Poodle being Pierre. We
Basset
got
Hound.
I think having the British Bulldog General.
Bulldog General, yeah.
Yeah, but he's like, not even going to be in it that much.
He's in episode
like,
one.
They can Skype him across planets.
Maybe eventually. Eventually.
Eventually, yeah.
Right, like second or third season.
Yeah, yeah. When they finally get communications back up.
Yeah, because they go.
You can't send more dogs over on this side. This place is a hellhole. It's like, what are you doing? That's not part of the plan. General, I'm warning you. Don't send anyone out here.
Dingo, you're out of control.
Turn in your badge.
Tell that to the baby I ate.
Bull terrier, like Frankenweenie, pit bull also.
I like the idea of a pit bull.
Was the corgi going to be the scientist? The corgi's going to be the master expert?
Well, let's before, I mean, Beast Hound, obviously, we can get into that breed, but we need to flesh. I think
Beast Hound is a
mutt creature.
Sci-fi mutt creature.
If anything, okay. Like, Beast Hound is going like to be more wolf. Closer to design of Bronx than
no,
an actual
dog. I'm fine with that. I didn't know what we were defining at this point.
Yeah.
So we've got, what characters do, what roles are we still filling at this point?
We need to know who's going to be the scientist. We need
the idea.
Who's the techno expert?
The dog that you showed, the gray one?
The Womeriner?
I like the idea of maybe like filling the role of Zoe from Firefly.
Uh-huh.
With like the female quartermaster, kind of like the one who backs up.
Is that not Angela?
Is that Angela? I thought Angela was more like she was.
Her skill is the scent, but you know her job could just be quartermaster.
She is this tough as nails brawler.
Is she going to be the second in command?
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay, I mean, so the two.
Because I saw her kind of fill in more the Jane role of Firefly of being the muscle.
Let's take Jane and Zoe and mash them together.
Oh,
in a good way, not the way that Jane wants. I mean that's essentially who I see her as. And Dingo is very much kind of just a more hard-edged Mal.
Right.
He's got to keep it together. He's got to keep the team together, though. Like, it's under his guidance that this team, otherwise this team would eat each other up.
But he acts without consult sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, that's the destroying the Farfetch.
Mm-hmm.
So he...
That's his flaw. His flaw is that he's a good leader, but he doesn't trust, or I shouldn't say trust, but he doesn't...
Hubris.
Yeah, that can bring the loyalty into it because like, look, we're loyal, you know, we're on your side, Dingo, you know, you got to trust us sometimes. And he's like, sometimes I act a little too, you know, too bullheaded.
And it ties into him being a descendant of a wild dog.
That's true.
The idea of the, you know,
a loner, Dingo's... the lone wolf. He's like the loner. He's not used to being the leader. This could be his first job being the leader, which is why he doesn't really trust them and why he does these rash actions like destroying the Farfetch.
With the exception,
I love that we're calling it the Farfetch, by the way.
With the exception of Angela. Angela and
they fought in some kind of war together.
That's a little too much.
Too Starfire.
Yeah, that's too
Firefly.
Yeah, sorry. The moment I said it, I regretted it.
The shit that they fought in together is the reason they're stranded there in the first place. They are the two survivors of the betrayal.
Are they?
Yeah. Because they were the two from the initial team. The initial team.
I didn't think we had agreed.
The first team are all the Diamond Dogs.
That's what I was thinking.
I thought we were. There were no survive. No quote unquote survivors. They don't even know there was a first team. This is a brand new team.
Yeah. The Lightning Dogs are a brand new. I like the idea of them being like a brand new team. What the hell is that?
Well, the Diamond Dogs. Yeah. They don't even know that they're from. And then after like a number of conflicts with them, they realize, wait,
they're like us.
They're like us. Like. Like for some, like one of the Diamond Dogs like pins down someone and says something like, oh, I missed the planet too. And then runs off. Or, like, what do you mean?
I feel like maybe the Diamond Dogs would be something that's a little bit more mindless. They think they're just minions. All of a sudden, you know, like a few good hits crack off the front of it. And they're like, oh my God.
Yeah, the Diamond Dogs even look like the living dogs? Or they look more like shouldn't. Robots?
They look they either look like robots or mutants.
I think they look like crystal dogs. Like they'll just think. They'll just think, oh, well, Glampire's just like, oh, you know, it's like Shredder's like, I'll build a turtle robot that fights like the turtles. And, that classic trope of I'll build a thing that meets you at your own level.
Yeah.
And they think that's what it is. And it's not.
I mean, from a design standpoint, what
it's
I'm kind of looking
worse
at
than death.
What I'm kind of looking at so far is the Lightning Dogs themselves are going to match the kind of anthropomorphized versions of the Thundercats, where you still have a very humanoid face, maybe some pointed ears on the side to represent. Mm.
No,
because I don't want to.
You
know where Thundercats fucked up for me? Like the first thing they fucked up, they weren't cat-like. They
don't even have tails. Yeah,
like it doesn't. It's like are Thundercats? You say show me the cats. Doesn't even fucking matter. I think, you know, we need full-blown dogs.
I don't want to go Road Rovers where it's just dog head on human body.
Yeah, that was bullshit.
But they do have to have, I think they have to have a snout. Like, if your breed had a snout, you got to have a snout. If your breed
going to incorporate the face shape of these particular dogs into the design.
Right, right.
And I think the way that we can distinguish the diamond dogs from them is to give them that full snout, is to give them this kind of crystalline version of just dog head,
I agree,
person body.
Yeah.
To where it is the uber exaggerated version of it, which is why they don't necessarily make that connection.
Also, they'd be easier to identify in like silhouettes, you know, like with if they're just a diamond, if they're rough edged, if they're just like that hard edged diamond texture over them, but they're in the shape of like a semi human body with a little bit of a tail, but just dog head, full on ears,
Anubis style,
like Anubis style. Then you're like, that's kind of intimidating and very, very threatening. Whereas with the lightning dogs. A little bit more humanized, but I wouldn't ever dare say they're human looking. But you hit the nail on the head.
I mean, let's not give them like the digititrade legs or however the fuck you say that, like where it's like the gargoyles have, you know. Mm-hmm. Let's not do that. It seems like overkill for what we're trying to do here, especially in the theme of 1980s animation where they wouldn't have fucking attempted that ever.
Would the lightning dogs ever run on all fours, or is that like we don't do that? That's like don't be an ass.
I don't know.
Like maybe
I don't
think you can do it. Like maybe you can do it, but they're just sort of like, dude, what are you fucking doing?
I mean, I think
Angela does, but more because I mean, we've described her as kind of a female badass Wolverine type. I can picture Wolverine doing that, so I can picture her in a feral state, just whipping some ass on all fours.
Right. But, so it's like maybe like you can run on all fours, but that's just like considered like
it's based on body type. I guess.
It's like undignified, maybe just sort of like, come on, man, we're not dog, like they are dogs and they refer to themselves as dogs, but they don't look at themselves as like the, that's like us looking at us like chimpanzees. It's like, you know what, just for fun, I might be in the military and secret black ops, but fuck it, I'm going to walk on my knuckles. It's like, dude, come on, man, you're in the military, stand up. Show some pride, man, for God's sake.
One of the biggest things we've got left to sort of figure out is how do they get their powers exactly? Because that's really ill-defined. They can't just get them just by being on a planet.
What if they're on Earth, and before, like, if they're going to run back, they're being chased by whatever it was, the Glampires or whatever, and they're like, before Dingo shuts down the Farfetch, like, on his own choice, without consulting anybody, realizes we can't take this evil back to our home planet.
Well, then, does he shut it down, or does he blow it up?
He goes, we don't turn tail. If he says, we don't turn tail, we can't let risk them ever getting there. He's going to blow up the Farfetch, and blowing up the Farfetch, they get hit with a wave of energy, and that's what gives them their powers as lightning.
And more than that, it turns... Because before, they could not beat the Diamond Dogs, but now with powers.
Yeah, yeah. And if Beast Hound's with them, that's why the Beast Hound's got laser vision.
Dingo has the bark beyond bark.
Yeah, Dingo's got the bark beyond bark, the thunder bark, you know, like whatever it's got, that can explain. Much like how the Fantastic Four got hit by the energy cosmic rays, same thing.
And now we're getting a whole Black Bolt thing tied into Dingo.
And it can if you want to tie it into Tesla somehow. I like that. If you want to tie it into Tesla, just have it be that the Earth technology was based on Tesla technology.
How do you feel about
and
that,
it's
Brian?
Lightning, and the lightning hits him.
Oh, I didn't invent Tesla. I forgot to say that.
Yeah, but you won't.
I
feel as though you're a spokesperson for Tesla in fiction. What's the verdict, Brian? Is Tesla oversaturated right now? Should we just leave him out of it?
I have to say that it is unnecessary to include in lightning dog.
Okay.
The keyword being lightning, and Tesla was pretty good with lightning.
Well, we can have a nod here and there. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the fact that one of them uses the ambient energy in the air.
I don't
air.
Think the word Tesla ever has to be said.
We can make all kinds of allusions to the Philadelphia
experiment.
If we
make some kind of reference to something like being Wardenclyffe, like I like subtle references to Tesla.
Yeah, sure.
Like, the prison warden, his name is Cliff.
No, I think the zany disturbed Professor Wardenclyffe, which Glampire keeps locked away.
And there we go.
That I like.
You see, dumb joke becomes brilliant idea. I like it.
All right, guys, we're at time. We gotta go. But there's still some things that we haven't sorted out. We don't know what breed the teenager character is, or even too much of that backstory.
Or if there's even more characters.
Yeah, and we're gonna keep developing this as we go. Some people have said you guys need to do a role playing podcast of this, and I agree. That was one of the first things that was on my mind. We could totally do a role-playing podcast of Lightning Dogs. We got a lot to hammer out about the world and the characters before we attempt that. And, as you may know, A Comic Shop, our producer, A Comic Shop, a famous A Comic Shop in Orlando, they produce a book called A Comic Book.
And this next issue is called As Not Seen on TV.
Yeah, each issue is an anthology of different writers, different artists, different stories, and they each have themes.
And one of the reasons behind this being called As Not Seen on TV might just be specifically so that we can do a 4 to 6 page Lightning Dog story. That's right. We have created an entire anthology just to have this one idea see its birth and creation.
An excuse, yeah, just to get it out there.
Obviously, we'll be tying up some of our loose ends and finishing off some of our ideas to get to that point. This tirade would not have turned into this episode, really, if it wasn't for you. So thank you so much for supporting us.
Shadow Man.
Oh, yeah.
And Hoodoo Voodoo. Thank you so much, guys. And everybody else who's posted on the forums, just want to contribute. It's a hard road. There's a lot of work we still got to do, but we're up for the challenge. And
we're going to put our wet noses to the grindstone.
That's right. That sounds really painful.
It does.
Ugh.
Oh, how young and naive we were. That issue of a comic book never got made for a number of reasons beyond our control. We did write a script, though, and on this episode's page, we'll link to where you can read it. As for the RPG, after some consideration, we realized that doing Lightning Dogs as an improvised role-playing audio drama like our other shows, Dungeons & Doritos and Ghostbusters Resurrection, wasn't really a good fit. We were more interested in following a scripted series route. However, doing short or full-length comics and formatting the world of the Wasteland into a tabletop RPG are side projects we would still love to do. And those are some of the many ways that we hope to further develop Lightning Dogs as we venture onwards towards our pie-in-the-sky goal of an animated series. If you'd like to see them too, then please consider joining our pack and supporting Lightning Dogs via Patreon. Currently, we're working towards a number of goals that will help this project both stay afloat and push it forward, such as paying for concept art by artists like Max Acree. Yes, the same guy who created the very first Lightning Dogs fan art is now part of our team and has designed all the Lightning Dogs vehicles. Another major goal is getting us to work on Lightning Dogs full time. I've actually agreed to quit my day job and come work for Lightning Dogs for only $1,000 a month. If that happens, we'll be able to make this a weekly series and crank out much more Lightning Dogs awesomeness. With your help, we can increase productivity, do cool projects like comics, developing Lightning Dogs for a tabletop RPG, create episode animatics, audio dramas, or even extra special projects like this first one that we're working towards. Having Greg Wiseman, creator of Gargoyles, co-creator of Young Justice, review our pitch bible for Lightning Dogs and advise us on how we should move forward. He's agreed to do it, but he can't do it for free. So join our pack on patreon.com/lightningdogs. You'll help us create more content, and you'll receive a lot in return, including early release episodes, concept art, high-res production materials, exclusive recordings, and anything else that we can dig up. So join us next time as we continue the adventures of the Lightning Dogs. Thanks for listening to Lightning Dogs, the official podcast presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes. Like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding us via Patreon. At patreon.com/nerdyshow, you can fund the whole Nerdy Show Network and unlock a plethora of amazing bonus content and early releases. And at patreon.com/lightningdogs, you can fund the further development of the entire Lightning Dogs universe, from podcasts to animation, while getting all kinds of behind-the-scenes bonus material and extras. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. Be sure to follow Nerdy Show and Lightning Dogs on all your favorite social networks, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, we're on all of them. Just search for Lightning Dogs. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.